With Job 18, I want to focus on just verse 4 of Bildad's words here. You who tear yourself in your anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Remember that the Hebrew word translated earth is also translated land, with a particular reference to the land of Israel. Or shall the rock or mountain be removed out of its place? In other words, who are you, Job? You think that you are so important and that everything in the whole universe has got to sort of fall down around you. And you see here a typical example of where dialogue goes wrong, because Bildad has been just surface-level listening to what Job has said. What he said in Job 14 was that the process of erosion wears down even the greatest mountains, and they're removed, and so the likewise the strongest man is eventually worn down to dust. And Bildad is twisting that and saying, you think that the whole mountain's got to be removed just because of you. This is typical of where dialogue goes wrong, that people go into the dialogue with preconceived assumptions about the other person, as Bildad does, and they grab words and twist them. This is typical. And the whole thing starts with them sitting there in silence, and it ends with them in silence. And I think the impression, especially if it's a kind of a play for voices, which I think it's intended to be, is that really all that they said was far better never said. This was not dialogue at all. One outcome of the book of Job is an example of dialogue gone wrong and how to avoid it. But that's not really what I want to focus upon. The Lord Jesus actually gives his midrash, I think, his interpretation of these words of Bildad, because he says in Matthew 17, verse 20, that if you believe, you shall say to this mountain, be removed, and it shall be. Well, Job's being told by Bildad, there's no way God's going to do that just for you. And the Lord Jesus is saying, yep, it will be done just for you. So he's saying that, Jesus is saying that great things can be done just for you. You think of Joshua praying for the sun, as it were, to stand still so that he had more time to do God's work, and it was done. Quite how you wish to interpret that is as you wish to interpret it, but I think the simple takeaway impression that we are to be challenged by is that, as the record says, there was never a day when God hearkened like that to the voice of a man. That because of one person's prayer and desire to serve God, actually the whole cosmos can, in that sense, be affected. Whether literally everything stood still is another question. But the point is that we are to understand that the whole cosmos can come to a halt because one man wants more time. This is God's sensitivity to human beings and to human prayer. You get it again really in the book of Revelation, where again in sort of visual terms, you see the idea of incense arising to heaven representing prayer, and then there being angels running here and there, things being poured out from heaven onto earth, all because of the prayers of people on the earth. And you may think, well, who am I? Would God do that for me? Is it even worth it? Well, this is the challenge, that God will do great things for you. I remember many years ago now, decades ago, being in the Soviet Union for the first time and thinking, how on earth are we going to get in here? How on earth can you really get the gospel in here, develop churches and so forth? Well, it was beyond my power or anybody's power in that sense to change it. But things changed dramatically after that. Really, communism fell very, very quickly, almost overnight. And the whole area opened up and Bibles could be taken in, preaching could happen, house groups are founded, then churches and so on. You think of our desire to spread the gospel to all the world, as it was certainly when I was a young guy, and it seemed a fairly difficult task. How on earth were we going to penetrate right into the most uncivilized, apparently, parts of the world? And in the course of my lifetime, two things happened. The internet arose, and associated with that, the phenomenon of people having cell phones, etc., smartphones, and everyone getting online all over the world. And secondly, the amazing J-curve growth of knowledge of English, which has become, excuse the pun, but I mean, it has become the lingua franca, as it were, of the world. So the gospel can go and does go now into the whole planet. Absolutely. Just from your screen, sitting wherever you are in some suburb of some European city or some Western city. So don't think that God cannot do great things for one individual. He really can. He absolutely can. Now, I've mentioned before, and I'll say it again, that the book of Job has a lot of signs within it, from linguistic evidence, that it was rewritten under inspiration for the exiles who were then in captivity in Babylon or Persia. And in Zechariah chapter 4, you have the same idea, that you, O great mountain, this is the apparently insuperable power of Babylon and Persia, shall be removed, so that God's exiles could return. And for those exiles who by that time were sort of assimilated into the culture, it all seems so permanent, like this is going to go on forever, this kingdom, this situation is not going to end, and we just have to do the best we can. And the idea of returning to rebuild and restore God's kingdom in Israel seemed absolutely impossible. And yet, this was the point of Zechariah 4, the mountain can be removed. And it's very similar language to what you have here in Bildad's words. Shall the mountain be removed for you, you little insignificant man, Job? And the answer was yes. And the exiles were supposed to take courage from Job's example and to see the error of what Bildad was saying. And he says, shall the earth or the land be forsaken just for you? Same words, Isaiah 62, verse 4. The land shall no longer be forsaken. The land could be forsaken and then not forsaken, just because God said so. And not only because God said so, but because there were people eager and willing for that to happen. Now, the exile sadly lacked, I think, the ambition, I suppose would be the word, the spiritual vision to make this reality. But my simple point is that don't think that huge things can't happen for you. It's easy immediately to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm not the only person who's praying about this, and, you know, there's other people, and that's, I'm sure that was the case in my case when I first was in the Soviet Union, thinking, how on earth can we shift communism? How on earth can we shift the whole system that seems fairly solid, solidly entrenched? And yeah, I'm sure it wasn't just me. But Joshua was one man who did pray for more time in that day, in Joshua's long day, for God's work to be done. It depends on your motives. If you're looking just for your own personal blessing or whatever, no. Because God is not a cash machine. He's not an ATM where you just happen to put in the right code and out sprouts money and banknotes and so on. That's not how it is. And God is not a magician in that sense. But he has expressed his purpose and his will and his intentions, and it is therefore over to us to fulfill them. And when it appears that we just don't have the resources possibly to do this, he can provide. He can do what he wants. But as I say, it's in the context of us wishing to do his will and to do his work as he's asked us to. So be inspired. Do not think that you are insignificant. This is one of the most profound teachings of the scriptures, that there is a huge value and meaning attached by God to every individual. There is a huge value to you. There is a huge meaning and purpose and intention for you. And you are not just one of a whole group of people. You are just one, as it were, of the body of Christ, of the seed of Abraham. But you are also meaningful. You, me. And salvation, finally, will be personal, absolutely. We, as the body of Christ, as the group of the sheep on the right hand, yes, we are collectively told, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But also we personally shall be saved. You, me, with all our personality, which has arisen as a result of God's unique hand in our lives and our path, we shall be saved. We shall rise again and we shall be changed, but who we are essentially as persons shall abide, because we are personally meaningful to God, and He will literally move heaven and earth for you.